session number 22372 reel 1.
Stan Cox, reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born at Didcot in Berkshire. Actually, which is now Oxfordshire, I believe, there since the change.
Which year was this?
It was 1924.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Didcot?
Yes, yes.
Which school did you go to there?
I went to St. Barinus Boys School.
Which?
St. Barinus Boys School.
How old were you when you finished there?
14.
So that was just before the war started?
Yes, I think it was 39.
Did you get a job on leaving school?
Yes, yes. I worked for the Oxford Co-op as a shop assistant.
Did the outbreak of war mean anything to you at your age?
Well, my brother got killed. My brother was in the Territorials. He got called up. And otherwise, no. Things went on just the same, more or less.
Was Didcot not affected by the war at first?
Not really, no. I don't think it. Well, of course, the Ordnance Depot was there, which was supplying lots of supplies, I suppose. But otherwise, it wasn't affected by the war at all, really.
You were telling me earlier that this depot was on the site of the present power station.
Of the old power station, yes.
Did any bombs fall on Didcot?
No, I think any bombs at all. They did say that we were in the Thames Valley, and there was always a constant mist over the town, and it sort of hid the town from the air. But we used to get the planes, bombers go over to places like Coventry and Birmingham and that sort of thing. But otherwise, there was one or two dropped in the countryside around there. But the Harwell Aerodrome was nearby. That got bombed a few times, I believe. But otherwise, nothing.
Did rationing affect you much?
Well, not to begin with. It was, yeah, well, stuff was in very short supply, really, but... yeah, we managed. It was my father and that, we were always lived in an agricultural area. There was always plenty of fruit and veg and that sort of thing about it.
Did you join anything before the army?
Yes, I was when I was 50, I was in the ARP as a messenger boy, and then when I was old enough, I joined the Home Guard for about a year.
What were your experiences in the Home Guard?
Well, it was just fun, really, you know. It's just playing soldiers, really. We had no hostile experience at all, you know.
Where did you meet in Didcot?
It was at a place called East Hagbourne, was Air Platoon, which is a little village outside, just more or less on the suburbs of Didcot.
Did you get any training with them?
Oh yes, we used to go every Sunday morning and train, and in the week we used to sort of do exercises and that sort of thing.
What training did you get with them?
Well, just ordinary sort of infantry training. It's arms practice, dismantling guns and that sort of thing, and cleaning them and all that sort of thing.
Which weapons did you learn?
Well, we had the old American rifles, and I was very pleased I had a Browning automatic.
Did you take the weapons home?
No, I don't think so. I can't remember, but I don't think so, no.
Did you get First World War veterans in the unit?
Oh, yes, there was quite a few of those, yes.
What did they tell you?
Not very much, really, you know. They no, it wasn't... No, they sort of... I don't think any of them really experienced in warfare. The old commander, he was a naval man, actually. Yes.
And can you tell me about going into the army, please?
Yes, good. I was called up in 1943. I had my medicals in just before Christmas, and I was called up in, I believe it was February in 1943. And I was posted to Beverley in East Yorkshire. I think it was the East Yorkshire Regiment there at the time. And there we did our 6 weeks, I think it was 6 weeks, basic training.
What kind of reception did you get on arrival at Beverley?
Well, it was typical army sort of thing, you know. They were waiting at the station for you with a 3-ton lorry, and then from then on you sort of did as you was told, and that was it.
How were you treated by the people in charge of the training?
Oh, very well, really, I think, yes. Yeah, you know, you couldn't... it was tough and that, it was hard, but... I don't think you could complain, it was all fair.
Did you cope with what they expected you to do?
Yes, I think, yes, yes. I mean, I'd been used to quite a, you know... I'd been used to the army drills and that sort of thing through the Home Guard, and...
Were you allowed out of the barracks in Beverley?
I don't think we were allowed out for about 2 or 3 weeks, I don't think, before we could go out. But after that, I think there was no restrictions.
And so you were given an East Yorkshire's cap badge, were you?
No, 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 we had a General Service Corps, I think, cap badge. It was like a coat of arms. But actually, it was East Yorkshire Barracks, but I know my sergeant there was, it was a West Yorkshire regiment man.
What happened when you finished there?
From there, I was sent to, well, we had tests there at, and I sort of put in for the tanks. But I was sent to Farnborough, the 55th Regiment at, well, at Farnborough, 55th RAC Training Regiment.
Farnborough, Hampshire.
Hampshire, yes.
Why did you choose tanks?
Well, in a way, it's a long story, because I had a friend. Well, when I worked for the co-op, I used to call, I used to have to go around the houses and collect the orders, you know, for grocery. And one particular person I went to, her son, was in the desert with the 8th Army. He was about two years older than me, I think. And when I used to go there, she used to tell me all about, you know, she'd had a letter from Percy. I knew the lad. I wasn't all that friendly with him, but I knew him quite well. And she used to tell me about his... He was there, and she'd had a letter, and what he'd been doing and that. And it sort of made up my mind for me, you know. I thought, well, that's the life for me. But, and yeah, when I went to... I think it was Reading, I went for a medical exam. They said, have you any preference? I said, well, yeah, I'd like to go in the tanks and that, in the Armoured Corps. And I thought, well, you know, I should probably put in the infantry or something. But the funny thing was that I got sent to the Armoured Corps, and then when I joined my regiment, the first fellow I ran into was this friend of mine. The Seward Rangers had come back to from the Middle East, and he was the first fellow I met in the NAFI when I went in there, and he was in the Sherwood Rangers as well, and I got posted to them, and from then on we were quite friendly, you know. Always, actually, we buried him about 3 years ago, I suppose. He died. We gave him a good send off.
So where did you go to after Beverley?
That was to Farnborough. I went to Farnborough, yeah.
What happened to you?
But at Farnborough, well, at Farnborough, I did the gunnery course and the driving course, and I passed out as a gunner mech. And then after I finished my training, a lot of my friends were posted elsewhere, but I was kept back. I don't know why, but. And I used to sort of help with the driving instruction and that sort of thing. And then, from then onwards, after that, I got posted to Barnard Castle, which I think was the 54th Training Regiment. That was for a conversion course on to Sherman's. I mean, at Farnborough we were training on Centaurs, which was the sort of the training regiment, training tank for the Cromwells.
What were they like?
I thought they were quite good, you know, I quite enjoyed the Centaurs. They were more or less the same as the Cromwell, I think, but...
Did you choose to be a gun mechanic?
Oh, no, I wanted to be a driver mechanic, but for some reason I didn't... That was everyone's ambition, was to be a driver mechanic, actually.
Why?
I don't know why. Well, I don't know why, but everyone sort of, you know, if you failed the driver mechanics course, you had to become a gunner mechanic, so that's what happened to me.
Is this just because everybody likes to drive?
Well, yeah, I think there's so many people want it, sort of thing.
And what did you think when you were introduced to the Sherman?
Well, we were told the usual old thing, you know, that what a wonderful tank it was and all the rest. And I mean, actually, the training was not a lot different, really, to what the Centaur training was. It was just getting to know the Browning gun and the 75mm gun, because it was a six-pounder on the Centaurs. But the basics are almost all the same. It's...
Any incidents that happened to you in the training at Barnard Castle?
No, I don't think so. I know we got stuck out on the hills there one night. It was freezing. We had to stop out all night because it's quite hilly around that way. And we were frightened the old tanks were going to slip off the road. But other than that, I don't think it was anything to...
How did the Shermans cope with hills?
Well, I think on the metal tracks, you know, it was a bit dodgy, really, but they weren't bad. I think in the end they did have a rubber track on some of them.
So by now you were in an actual regiment?
No. We were still training. We had a load of fellas come from the Lancashire Fusiliers to be converted to tank men and that. And we all sort of, we were still under just our Royal Armoured Corps with the old clenched fist badge.
What do you remember happening next?
Well, from Barnard Castle, next thing I knew that we were posted to Newmarket. And we joined the Sherwood Rangers. That was right about Christmas time. But when we got there, you know, it was a lot of the fellows were just coming back, that were on leave or coming back from leave, disembarkation leave. And, you know, it was, to be quite truthful, it was a bit like Fred Carno's army, because we went there and we joined the regiment and there was no one. It didn't seem any discipline at all, you know. These lads were still, I think they were still living in the desert. And I know I couldn't believe it. The first morning we were there, I led in bed, and it was about 8 o'clock, half past eight, and nothing had happened. And I said to one of the lads, you know, well, you know, don't we go on parade? And they said, oh, no, we'll have a roll call, they said, about 10 o'clock time, he said. So he said, you stick there. Anyway, all of a sudden, one of them got up and went down the cookhouse and got a bucket of tea and a bucket of hot water, and they all sort of mucked in with this tea and washed themselves in this, and that was it. We went on about half past 10, I suppose, we went on roll call, and I couldn't believe it, because, you know, after the training regiment, everything was sort of, well, the old bull, you know, sort of thing. And there, you know, nobody could care a damn sort of thing. And the old sergeant major come along and somebody said, what's on today then, Henry, you know, something like that. Oh, it's all right, lad, you know, you just make yourself at home sort of thing, useful and that. And they just didn't do anything for about 2 weeks. And as I say, I mean, it was no sergeant major this and so on. Everybody called him Henry sort of thing. But...
Were they doing any work at all?
No, well, they had no tanks or anything. You see, they'd just come back, and they were still, a lot of them still had their old kit on and that sort of thing. But I say after about a fortnight, we had all these Shermans come, which came straight from America, I suppose. They were still all greased up and that. We had to go and clean all that out. That was the sort of next job we did. Get all the it was like Christmas, you know. Everybody's opening these packages and seeing what was inside. And I think some of them were cigarettes and all put in there, you know, the girls in the factories in America had put in there for whoever received them.
You mean gifts?
Oh yes, gifts. Yeah, yeah. Letters and that sort of thing, you know, wishing us well and something. But they do say that nearly all of them were the same, but the old dockers at Liverpool, they reckon they had quite a picnic with all the stuff that was in them, sort of thing.
Were they in working order, the Shermans?
Well, more or less, yes. Oh yeah, they were brand new, sort of thing, they were.
Any other things you remember from this time of the arrival of the tanks?
No, I don't think so. We just sort of carried on preparing the tanks, and then next thing I knew, I was sent off on an advance party down here to Sway. We came down to Sway in the New Forest, and we were, well, it's a nursing home billeted in this big nursing home, well, big country house it was. And there we sort of prepared the tanks for D-Day waterproofing and that sort of thing. We used to go on, we had one or two landings. I think we went down to Dorset and landed on the coast there. Of course, A Squadron and HQ were the only ones there. The other ones were training on these DD tanks, on the amphibious tanks.
How did you waterproof them?
Well, it was Bostik and that sort of thing. You had exhaust vents, like big metal boxes. They stood up about 4 or 5 foot high, I suppose. And then you had to put those on the engine covers and seal up all cracks with this Bostik and everything.
Were you shown where to put the Bostik?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was, I think the sergeants had been on the course before, and all the instructors, whoever they were, and, that was it, I think.
Then did you test them?
No, I think some of them went to Fordingbridge, I think there was. We did actually at Sway, we started to dig a big pit to test them, but in the end we had to, I think they went to Fordingbridge out here in the New Forest by the river there, and they were tested there, I believe, but I didn't go there.
What do you remember happening next?
Well, as I say, at Sway we were there, I suppose we were there about 2 months, and we went on these different schemes and that for landing, and then the next thing I knew they said we were on the move again, and we came down here actually. We came down by Fawley in the woods here, but I didn't know it was Fawley at the time. I found out since that's where we were, but I think the B and C squadrons on the DD tanks were at they were at Kelshot, but we were at Fawley down here on the Drummond estate. Beyond wire, you know, it was all sort of, you weren't allowed out.
What kind of mood were you in by now?
Well, we knew it was going to happen and that was it. We just accepted, you know, I don't think we realised what it was going to be, really.
Were you confident or nervous?
Well, we were quite confident, you know, you were inwardly nervous, of course, you know, when you went round the countryside and saw what was the stores and all that sort of thing, you knew that it was a real thing, sort of thing, and you We weren't going to be short of anything. Oh, while we were at Sway, we had... Eisenhower came and he inspected us at Sway. And I believe Montgomery came down there too.
What impression did these VIPs make?
Well, I thought Eisenhower, he was a very smart man, you know, but Monty was sort of... He was all right, Monty. He just sort of come in, but none of the lads seemed to like him very much. Not.
Well, these are the ones who had been in the desert?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What did they have against him?
I don't know what they had against him, but they were always... I don't know, there was something about it, didn't they?
Do you remember anything that they said?
No, not really, no, no, no.
So, were you in a troop and a squadron by now?
Oh, yeah, I was in a squadron all the time, actually, from when I joined them at Newmarket.
Can you tell me about the troop and the squadron you were in, please?
I was in A squadron, but I can't remember what troop I was in. I know my officer was Howden, Lieutenant Howden. And the squadron leader was Stanley Christopherson, who actually took over the regiment in France.
Did the tanks have names or nicknames?
Yes, most of them had names. I think ours is we tried, you know, everyone tried to make it beginning with A because we were A squadron. I think we were all a shot. We were not very romantic. But I know, well, I spell Sergeant Dring. Have you heard of Sergeant Dring?
No.
He was quite a tank ace, actually. His tank is, well, not his tank, but a replica of his tank is at Duxford. And he came down, he was about 84, 85, I think, now. And he came down last year and... when it was sort of opened, you know, and he even climbed up on the old tank, but he's pretty ill since then.
Was he in your squadron?
Yes, he was. He wasn't my sergeant, but I knew him quite well.
Do you remember who the members of your crew, tank crew?
My crew, yes. Sergeant Rush was the tank commander, and two lads. One was Jim Hines, and the other one was I can't think of his name at the moment.
So you had a crew of four?
Well, no, five actually. The other one was a Scotchman, MacDonald. Reg Fenimore was Fenimore was the driver.
How did you all get on together?
Very well, yeah, we were all a good crew.
Who had the best job in the tank?
Well, I don't know really, it's... I suppose the co-driver was the best job because he didn't have much to do, you know. He just sat in the front seat and... he had a machine gun sort of thing, but other than that, I don't even say better or worse job really. It's, in a way, I suppose the gunner had the worst job of the lot because he was always the last man out really. It's,
why should he have been the last man out?
Well, you had to, if you got hit, the gunner had to make sure, because if the gun is forward like that and elevated, well, the driver can get out and the co-driver, but if the gun is sort of traversed left or anything, the driver can't get out because he can't open his hatch, and the same applies if it's the other way. And then in the tank itself, and the gun comes down here, and the gunner's here and the operator is there. Well, if the gun is elevated, it means to say that the co-driver, the operator, it stopped getting out by the breech block and that. So it really, it was always said that it was your job to make sure, if you could, make sure that the gun was at 12 o'clock and on a level elevation. And then everyone can get out. Of course, the crew commander, he's sort of standing up and he's sort of the first one out, if anything.
So what happened next to you at Fawley?
At Fawley, we were in the camp there, and we just sort of spent our time keeping the weapons clean and that sort of thing. And I'm not sure if we had the tanks there, though. I can't. But I know we were the Canadians with us, the French Canadians. They were down there as well, and I think they thought we were going to be their armoured support, and we got on very well with them, you know, but it didn't turn out that way in the end. They went to, I think they were on Sword Beach, was it, or Juneau, one or the other. But from Fawley we went to, I think it must have been the end of May, beginning of June, end of May I should think, we went into Southampton, and next thing we knew we were on the landing craft.
What were conditions like in that?
Pretty rough really. It was, I mean, you only had a small cabin. I think you could get about 16 in there, with sort of a table down there, and there was nowhere to sleep. And we used to sleep anywhere we could. A lot of the lads slept in the tanks and that sort of thing. But I went, I thought I was a bit clever. We went up into the winch house at the front of the landing craft. But that was all right while we were in dock. But once we got on the high sea, you were up and down like that. But there was water everywhere, and everyone being sick and that. You know, once we got to sea and that, it was pretty grim.
Did you eat anything or drink anything on the way across?
I don't think we had, many of us felt like it. I don't think. I can't remember. You know, whether we did or not, but I don't think so.
Or sleep.
Well, yeah, you got a bit of sleep, you know, because we were on there. What, on the way across?
Yes.
Well, not really, not.
Can you describe going into the beach, please?
Yeah, well, we, I suppose we were, we got there about 6 or 7 o'clock, I suppose, and everywhere you looked, there was ships everywhere, you know. And, then we started to run into the beach, and my job actually was, one of my jobs was to get out, when we beached, they dropped the ramp down, and just behind the ramp there was a great big bobbin of coconut matted, and it was about six of us, I think, were detailed to, as soon as we beached and dropped the ramp, had to push his bobbin out onto the beach, onto the sand and that, so the tanks could get a grip.
Like a roll of...
A roll, yes. Big roll of bobbin, big roll of matted. But it was so rough on that as we pushed it out, the sea was still coming in, and it just went into the sea, and it sort of skewed around and floated away. So we had to abandon that, and we had to abandon the landing craft. The next thing we knew, the landing craft was... The sea was so rough it was turning the light. We could see it turn round, and it turned it completely round, the landing craft. So it was facing the other way. Of course, he had to go out and make a run in again. But we were left on the beach. I was on the beach about half an hour before they come back in again. But we were lucky in a way, because there was a sea wall. This was about 100 yards on, so we went and just sort of sheltered behind there for about half an hour until the boat came back in again.
So this was Gold Beach?
Gold Beach, yeah.
Were you under fire all that time?
Oh, well, there was shells falling, you know, but there was nothing landing on the beach, I don't think, at the time. But there was probably some small arms flying around, but it wasn't too bad. I think we were lucky where we were. We didn't have quite so much opposition.
So you were sheltering under the wall?
We sheltered under the wall until the landing craft came back in again.
And the Sherman was on the beach?
No, no, not the Sherman. No, the Shermans were still on the landing craft.
So you hadn't gotten any Shermans?
We hadn't got any Shermans there, no. They went back out with the... But he ran in again, and this time he was more successful, and the landing craft came off. And then the landing craft, the tanks came off. But the first one off the Hound, Lieutenant Hound's tank, as soon as it hit the beach, it had a breakdown for some reason. It wasn't hit, I don't think. Something happened to it. And when our tank came off, we went and